Radio Prague News.
The wreck of a helicopter in which four people died has been removed. Police say there were 119 road deaths in July and August. And this summer was the hottest in Prague since records began. Fire officers in Pilsen have removed the wreck of a helicopter that crashed onto a factory building on Wednesday. Three men and one woman on board the aircraft were killed. The wreck was partly caught by the roof of the hall and partly landed inside the structure, which was unused. The victims are reported to have included one Czech and three people from Thailand. Police are investigating the cause of the crash. In July and August, the Czech police investigated almost 18,000 traffic accidents in which 119 people lost their lives. While the number of road deaths was 18 higher than in summer 2017, the general trend is declining, and this year's numbers were the second lowest since 1990, the police said on Thursday. Unlike deaths, accident numbers have been constantly rising for several years, not just in the summer but all year round. Police attribute this trend to a rise in vehicle numbers and heavier traffic. Three new versions of Bedřich Smetana's opera Libuše are being performed in the Czech Republic in the near future. That's in connection with next month's centenary of the foundation of Czechoslovakia, Novinky.cz reported on Thursday. The first of the productions will be performed by the Opera of the National Theatre in Brno at the city's Central European Exhibition Centre on Friday. The second will premiere at Prague's National Theatre at the end of next week, and the third will get its first airing at the Theatre of North Bohemia in Ústí nad Labem on September 28th. The Czech Republic's footballers will on Thursday night take part in their first game in the Nations League, a new competition intended to, in large part, to replace friendly matches. The Czechs' opponents in Uherské Hradiště will be Ukraine. The other member of their Nations League group is Slovakia, and all teams face one another twice. Success in the Nations League can help teams reach the European Championships. The Czechs face Russia away in a friendly game on Monday. Prague saw the hottest summer since records began back in 1775. The Czech Hydrometeorological Institute reported on its website on Thursday. The oldest Czech meteorological station at Prague's Klementinum recorded an average temperature of 22.7 degrees Celsius. That was the highest in the past 244 years. Until this year, the summer of 2003 was the hottest since records started, with an average temperature of 22.4 degrees Celsius. And finally, the weather forecast. Friday should be mainly bright in the Czech Republic, with a chance of rain. Temperatures are expected to reach up to 24 degrees Celsius, and the weekend should see similar weather. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Coming up in today's programme, the town of Kostelec nad Orlicí took up a public collection for a new statue of the country's first president, Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk. Futurologists flock to Prague for the annual conference Futureport Prague. And later we speak to the Czech ambassador to NATO, Jiří Šedivý. All that coming up, so please stay with us. To mark the 100th anniversary of the founding of Czechoslovakia, the town of Kostelec nad Orlicí took up a public collection to erect a new statue of the country's founder and first president, Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk. But it won't be a faithful replica of the original, removed by the Nazis and later melted down by the communists. Brian Kennedy has more.
The son of a coachman and a cook, the self-made man who would become the father of the nation, had a profound respect for education. No doubt Masaryk's likeness, in the form of a 2-meter-high bronze statue sitting atop a pedestal of even greater height, had inspired at least a generation of grammar school students in Kostelec nad Orlicí to take their studies a little bit more seriously. But, as was the fate of many statues of Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk in town squares throughout Czechoslovakia, subsequent totalitarian regimes looked to install new heroes, and the monument, unveiled with great fanfare in 1935, was torn down by the Nazis less than a decade later, then hidden by locals to prevent its destruction. Kostelecna Orlicí deputy mayor Tomáš Kytlík.
Potom byla následně zase obnovena po 45. roce.
The statue was reinstated after 1945, but unfortunately only very briefly. 5 years after the victorious February communist coup, it was again removed, and in 1953, sadly, the statue was pressed flat at a local nationalized factory, and the scraps or raw material were taken away to be melted down in nearby Borohrádek.
A ty zbytky nebo ta surovina byla převezena do sběrných surovin do Borohrádku.
Locals tried several times to have their monument restored during the Prague Spring Reform Movement of 1968 and a few years after the fall of communism. But the political will and money wasn't found until 2 years ago, when Kostelec celebrated 700 years since its first mention in a historical record. A public collection raised more than 600,000 crowns to erect a new statue, which will be unveiled on October 28th to mark the Czechoslovak centenary. Tomáš Kytlík again.
Pan sochař Karel Bartáček z Prahy na ní intenzivně už několik.
The sculptor Karel Bartáček from Prague worked on the statue intensively for 9 months. It'll be 2.3 meters high, not including the base, so we're talking about a truly monumental work. Typically, the president is depicted standing firm and wearing a long coat. Ours will be in a suit with no hat in hand, taking a symbolic step forward, which is not such a traditional representation. In the end, we agreed with the artist's concept. His disposition will be a little bit different from the one people in Kostelec knew during the First Republic.
Na ní byli zvyklé za tu první republiku.
Tomáš Kytlík, Kostelec nad Orlicí deputy mayor, ending that report by Brian Kennedy. Now, dozens of experts from all over the world gathered at a conference today which opened up this year's edition of Futureport Prague. The two-day show taking place in the Prague market will also feature a machine ethics symposium and a festival showing many of the latest technological inventions to the public. Tomek Kencrow has more.
A recent study by STEMmark revealed that 3/4 of Czechs see themselves as techno-optimists, and 1/4 is actively interested in technological development. It is therefore perhaps unsurprising that last year's experiment in popularizing futuristic thought, known as Futureport Prague, saw positive feedback among the population. This year it is back with a bigger program, transforming the Prague market into an epicenter of futuristic visions and products for 2 days. But rather than just seeing it as a show, Futureport Prague's founder and CEO, Martin Holečko, insists his project has a wider mission.
I hope we contribute with Futureport Prague because this is something that we try to do, bring this information to the people, let them touch the future, let them talk with the companies who are doing all these technologies and come home with ideas and, you know, without fears from the unknown, let's say.
Intending not just to display visions of the future, but actively to help in its creation, Holečko has invited renowned futurologist Nell Watson to lead a special symposium that will attempt to create a framework of machine ethics.
This is becoming a very hot topic, I would say. For example, take the autonomous car that has to decide all the time while driving. And they exactly look into that, how to make sure the machines understand what are the human values, what is ethical, when they make some autonomous decisions.
The largest segment of the 2-day event is the Open Air Festival, which aims to introduce visitors to various new products.
One of the features would be some nanotechnologies. It's not one feature, it's actually 20 different companies. We have people that are actually working on Mars missions, and they are presenting. Of course, we have the Skoda Vision X here, which is an amazing crossover from Skoda that is showing the future of the cars from this manufacturer. And yeah, I could go on for a long time.
Visitors will also get a chance to meet British engineer Kevin Warwick, who became a cyborg after having an array implanted in his arm. They can also look forward to workshops, which will offer the chance to learn new skills and discover employment opportunities in the high-tech sector.
Tom McEncrow with that report. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for a new edition of One on One, brought to you by Brian Kennedy.
Czech Republic is on target to meet its NATO commitments in terms of spending on defense, taking part in foreign missions in deadly hotspots such as Afghanistan, and countering new types of threats from cyber warfare to disinformation campaigns. In a wide-ranging interview, Czech Ambassador to NATO Jiří Šedivý takes stock of the many challenges ahead. Over the past 2 years, NATO and the EU have achieved an unprecedented level of cooperation, noted the military alliance's Secretary General, Jens Stoltenberg, following the June meeting of the North Atlantic Council in a defense minister's session.
This is natural. We have many shared members. We have shared interests and challenges. And more than 90% of EU citizens live in a NATO country. And so we have been working together on 74 concrete areas of cooperation, including hybrid and cyber, maritime operations, fighting terrorism, exercises and military mobility, and women, peace and security.
Czech Minister Andrej Babiš, pledging to meet the country's commitments to bolster shared defense capabilities, has also called for NATO-EU cooperation to go a step further. To bring a halt to illegal migration, viewed as a destabilizing factor, he said ahead of an official trip in late August to the frontline states of Italy and Malta that a comprehensive action plan for the entire EU is needed, and the Czech Republic is ready to prepare one. That plan may involve an idea Mr. Babiš has floated of having the protection of EU borders transferred to the NATO level in a bid to stem the tide of illegal migrants. This would be in addition to beefing up the European Border and Coast Guard Agency, known as Frontex, and giving it greater power. At the start of a half-hour interview with Czech Ambassador to NATO Jiří Šedivý on the country's current defense and strategic priorities, I began by asking him whether giving the military alliance a permanent role in patrolling EU borders was, in fact, something being discussed within NATO.
First of all, in NATO and in NATO debates, since 2015, when there was the peak of the refugee crisis, no ally proposed direct involvement of NATO into this situation, not even those that were or that are most exposed to that, be it Italy, Greece or Hungary in those times, or Spain. There is a shared understanding that the prime or the first responder should be the European Union, which has the whole spectrum of relevant instruments for this, but also that the solution of migration is not military, and migration is not a military threat. At the same time, and it's based on the NATO-EU declaration signed in the margins of the Warsaw Summit in 2016, NATO supports European Union's activities in the Aegean Sea and in the Central Mediterranean, Operation Sophia, EU Operation Sophia, and NATO provides some support in terms of logistics and information sharing.
Operation Sophia launched in June 2015 after a series of fatal shipwrecks in the Mediterranean involving migrants from North Africa and the Middle East, was tasked to identify, capture, and dispose of vessels used by migrant smugglers and traffickers. NATO is providing its support via Operation Sea Guardian. Such naval operations, of course, will never be central to the Czech Republic's contribution to shared NATO defense, as this is a landlocked nation. However, Czechs have an expertise in countering chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear threats going back many decades, and are taking a prime role in combating a new generation of threats stemming from forms of hybrid and cyber warfare, such as targeted disinformation campaigns from Russia and other actors.
This is another area which has been defined as a priority area for NATO-EU cooperation. We have established a Center for Countering Hybrid Threat and Terrorism a couple of years ago. I mean, in Czech Republic, we have established the center. There is in the European Union, the East Stratcom team, and we have one member, one Czech member in that team. It's a small team, 14 people around. And recently, the Center of Excellence for Countering Hybrid was established in Helsinki. And it was established jointly or inaugurated jointly by NATO and EU, and we joined that center recently. So there is a lot of activities. What is important, and again, we are at the core of the activities of these centers, it's producing sort of a manuals how to approach these challenges, the best practices, lessons learned, how to, for example, identify a false Facebook accounts and how to discern actually and identify a fake news as such. And indeed, there is a permanent exchange of information. We've seen recently that there is a increasingly systematic approach to countering the fake news, disinformation or propaganda. This is important. This is important, but this is a, by and large, a sort of a reactive approach. What I think is at least as important as all these activities that I mentioned is a long-term effort to improve internet and media literacy, to improve critical thinking, to improve capabilities to understand, analyze texts, to discern facts from factoids or alternative facts. And this is indeed a long run, and it should start in terms of programs in already basic schools. That's a long-term challenge.
Another long-term challenge for NATO, on the whole, is to meet the requirement agreed upon in 2006 that its 28 member states spend at least 2% of GDP on defense. The Czech Republic is on track to meet that target in 2024, as confirmed at the NATO summit in July. In the near future, the Czech military plans to buy a number of big-ticket items, such as multipurpose helicopters, radar systems, and combat vehicles. I asked Ambassador Šedivý about the Czech Republic's spending priorities, whether these have changed to meet new perceived threats, and whether there is any danger of spending too fast, or spending for spending's sake, simply to meet the 2% target in time.
The spending priorities for the Czech Republic have been by and large defined in the mid and long-term strategic documents and doctrines, and indeed correspond to the priorities that are generated by the NATO defense planning process. We are about to, or we should finalize the armament or rearmament of our ground forces to achieve two full-fledged brigades, one armed brigade and the other is a rapid reaction, a partial airborne brigade. Then air forces, and here above all helicopters, air defense, radars, and those two types, helicopters and radars, that's still concerning replacing the legacy systems, the Soviet-type platforms or radars. So there is much more, but these are the most visible and also most expensive areas where we should now start investing. Then, in view of new threats or of the current security environment, there is definitely a need to invest more in cyber defense. And we, within the military intelligence, are preparing to create active defense capability, which is very important. Then electronic warfare, and here Czech Republic has a very sophisticated system of passive radiolocators, VERA, that are also able to serve as a system in electronic warfare. Another area which I think is now much more important than we could imagine just a couple of years ago is the whole domain of unmanned vehicles, be it ground or airborne. vehicles. And last but not least, special operation forces. So these, I would say, four or five areas, I believe, should be propped up now in view of a new security threats or emerging risks.
In August, the Czech Army signed contracts for supplies worth over 11 billion crowns for the delivery of 80 armored nuclear, biological, and chemical reconnaissance vehicles in 2020 for 5.1 billion. 62 Titus armored trucks for $6 billion, to name those that made headlines. In the coming weeks, according to Defense Minister Lubomir Metnar, tenders will also be launched for 210 infantry fighting vehicles for 53 billion crowns and for helicopters for some 10 billion. In the medium term, the Army also plans to buy 8 Israeli mobile air defense radars and 2 Czech-made Vera NG passive radar systems to support NATO missions for billions of crowns more. Jiří Šedivý again.
Whether there is a threat of the overheating or spending too fast just for spending, I'm afraid that our problem actually is that we are not able to realize those projects in time. Our procedures are too complicated, so it's rather a problem of spending slowly. And here I'm a bit afraid that actually we have already missed opportunity over the past 3-4 years when we've had a very robust economic growth, so the money was there, but no big projects, procurement or acquisition projects were realized, and there is a sooner or later that will the economic cycle will change, and we will hit in another recession, and so that's my concern, that in 4-5 years perhaps we may, looking back, be regretting that we were not spending enough now.
And that's exactly the timeline that's laid out, five, six years,
yes, exactly,
to meet to that 2024 target.
Yeah. What is important? 2% alone tells you nothing. What is important is that from those 2%, at least 20% goes into modernization investments. And indeed, what is also important is from what base you deduce those 2%. And here there is a paradox of growth that actually, and this was what Prime Minister Babiš tried to explain to President Trump at the summit, that although in relative terms we have increased only 0.1 or 0.2%, in real terms over the period 2014-2019 actually our defense budget will increase in 50%.
So in the Czech case, as Ambassador Šedivý explains, not only the absolute level of spending should be taken into account, but also the base from which that spending began and the state of the economy spending it. That said, a large spending spree is indeed underway in the Czech Republic. But as is so often noted, the ultimate military price, the ultimate sacrifice, is paid in terms of human life. In early August, 3 Czech servicemen serving in NATO's Resolute Support mission were killed in eastern Afghanistan by a suicide bomber while conducting a joint foot patrol. In total, some 230 Czech service members are now stationed in Afghanistan as part of the 16,000-strong non-combat mission training and advising the National Defense and Security Forces. This spring, the Czech government had approved a plan to deploy another 160 there, as well as to reinforce the country's presence in countries such as Iraq and Mali. So did the suicide bombing in Afghanistan last month change anything? Czech Ambassador to NATO, Jiří Šedivý, again.
It definitely has not changed the resolve to support further the Resolute Support mission in Afghanistan. We will deliver what we promised in terms of increasing the numbers. And that increase in our contribution was based on a direct request from the operational commander and the U.S. Defense Secretary Mattis. That's first thing. It increased awareness concerning Afghanistan and the risks of being there, indeed. And it was also, I would say, ultimate reminder of what's at stake there. And the discussions, absolutely understandably, many people were saying why we should be there when our best people are killed there. There is apparently no progress. It's a long-term commitment. It will be dangerous, and so on and so forth. So it was also a good opportunity to discuss why we are there, the ultimate sense also of being there. And here we must be realistic. We are there indeed to prevent a repetition of the situation when Afghanistan was a sort of a free area for terrorist groups, Al-Qaeda operating globally from Afghanistan, actually 9/11. And it's also to keep in mind that we are there not to occupy the country, not at all. Actually, the contrary is true. We are there to help local authorities and armed security forces develop their own capacity to keep the country stable and to cope with the security threats. And once we achieve this, then we will leave. But it's a long run, and we are there for years and years to come. But the alternative will be much worse. Under the current circumstances, the country would be quite soon back in chaos and internal wars. And indeed, this is also a very fertile ground for terrorism and other phenomena, such as migration.
Czech Ambassador to NATO Jiří Šedivý was Brian Kennedy's guest on that edition of One on One, which brings us to the end of our program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.